Welcome to the Middle East Report. Each week we connect you to the people, places, and land of Israel and the Middle East. And of course, we keep you informed of the current events that are happening in that region. We break through the lies and deceptions of the news media to bring you truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. Thank you for listening to this week's show. And this week, I have two of my traveling buddies with me in the studio, J.J. Jasper, Chris Woodward. Both of these guys traveled with me to Israel, and guys, we're back here in the good old United States.
It's a reunion.
Yes, it is. It's almost a reboot of like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles or Three Amigos.
That's right. Well, we were in Israel because we were invited there by the Israel Ministry of Tourism, which is absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, come and see the land of Israel and then go back to the United States and, you know, tell everybody about it.
Yeah, we were amazed. You know, I think like a lot of people, when we were even talking, when I was talking with my family and friends and church family, the first reaction, oh, aren't you going to be scared? Are you going to be scared to be there with missiles raining down? I mean, it's Israel, and every time you turn on the news, you see they're under attack. And so, you know, just a little bit of a knee jerk, you think, well, I hope I'm going to be safe. I want to say right on the front that I never felt unsafe. It was just very, very peaceful. Everybody, they were having weddings. They were having mm-hmm. celebrations. We saw a birthday party. Mm-hmm. We saw all these things. Now, you did see military presence, which is a good thing. And you saw a lot of guards outside of restaurants and things. So they have been under attack for thousands of years, more than 2,000. They have the best military. They have the best intel. But I think you guys would say the same thing. I never, ever felt unsafe.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I saw a number of people who, much like in the United States, were carrying a pistol for their own personal safety. There were military people there on duty with guns to watch over people, provide security. Same thing with police officers. The most dangerous part of our trip was probably the 12-hour layover that JJ and I had before we actually flew across the ocean. And then we had about a six-hour layover when we got back, waiting to get back to Memphis. So that was probably the most dangerous, air quotes, part of the trip.
Well, J.J. Jasper, of course, nationally known speaker. He's heard on American Family Radio, author. And mm-hmm. then, of course, Chris Woodward with our American Family News Department. You two were with me in Israel. I had been there multiple times. J.J., I think it had been like 25 plus years since you've been there. Chris, this was your very yes. first time to go to Israel. So I wanted to start off there and just, you know, get your impressions mm-hmm. of what it was like for you to be in Israel for the very first time.
The term I have used repeatedly for these kinds of discussions is mind-blowing, because it blew my mind at the things that we saw. For some reason, I was under the impression that a lot of what we would be taken to would be kind of open to interpretation. Imagine, if you will, 2,000 years ago, this was all, you know, a lot of that is still there. For people that have never been to Israel, when you're in places like any of the cities or towns along the Sea of Galilee, a lot of that stuff is still non-developed today. So the hills and the mountains and the grass and the fields that you see are just as they were when Jesus himself walked on them, or he saw them with his own two eyes when he was, for example, walking on the Sea of Galilee. And so when you are there, it will blow your mind in terms of the things that you'll see, knowing that our Lord and Savior saw the same things. And two, I will tell you, like, for example, I was just at a recent church service, and one of the things in the Bible reading and the message involved in Getty, which is another place that we went to. So it enhances your Bible study when you actually see these things for yourself, and you'll realize, hey, in Getty is a real place. Here's what it looks like. Same thing with the Sea of Galilee or anywhere else that we went to.
It absolutely makes the Bible come alive. Mm-hmm. We started off in Tel Aviv. We quickly went to Joppa, and you're like, Joppa? Wait, I've read about that. And Jonah went down to Joppa and bought a ticket mm-hmm. to go to Tarshish. Tarshish, God called him to go to Nineveh. He went the opposite way. Joppa, there was a big whale that they still have right yes, there that yeah. we got our picture by. Mm-hmm. And then you're on the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea hasn't changed. There's a port city, the port city where Jonah sailed out of. And we went down the narrow corridors. You saw Simon the Tanner, and you go, oh, wait, these are these New Testament stories coming to life. Then we went through the desert, and you saw the desert. We looked out and our driver and our tour guide, what's that? Oh, that's Judea. And you're like, wow, John the Baptist, mm-hmm. all of these things that happened in the desert. And then we went to places like Masada, the fortress out there in the desert. Mm-hmm. And then I agree with Chris, when we went to the Sea of Galilee and visited Capernaum and Magdala and all of these places all around the sea, that's where Jesus went up into those same mountains that we were looking at to pray throughout the night and then come down and select the disciples. And he walked along those shores, and we saw the slopes where mm-hmm. he gave the Beatitudes. All the storms, the healings, the miracles, chasing the demons into the pigs over that. We saw those places. We saw the ruins of those towns, and they make such fresh discoveries. One thing they just discovered in 2023, it's amazing, all of the active archaeological digs that are taking place, and we saw so much of that.
Yeah, and that's one thing, too, that people need to be mindful of. If you were blessed years ago with the ability to visit Israel, you should definitely go back now, because odds are they have recently discovered things, or they've discovered things since your most recent visit to today. For example, John himself has been 36 times now. That's not an exaggeration, 36 times, and he saw things that he had never seen, which made it cool for me, because I kind of thought I would be the guy wants to look at everything because it's his first time here, I've seen this, I've done that, or whatever. We all experience things together for the first time, even though John's been there before. Same thing with JJ.
Our tour guide, she said the exact same thing. She is a tour guide. You have to go to school for 2 years to be an Israeli tour guide. And when we had a different tour guide join us that lived on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, he lived right up the hill, and he worked on a dig just a few years ago. And lo and behold, they discovered something that's right there in the Bible. We were seeing this. We were seeing the valley where Jesus walked up through, where this man was living among the tombs, and they just had discovered these tombs. And there was the ruins of the town. We went through all of that. And then things that he was pointing out and saying, our tour guide said, this is brand new for me. And like you said, Chris, John said, I've never seen this. Well, no, because they just found it in 2023 and another one 2021. But everything about the trip, we encourage you, if you've never been to Israel, please go with the Wildman Group or go with someone in your church that leads tours to Israel. A lot of ministries do this, but it's just going to be life-changing, and it will cause the scriptures just to come alive when you say, let us go up to Jerusalem.
Yes.
And there we went. Chris, we were just going up, 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 and there's Jerusalem up on a hill.
You really understand that. The one thing I've had to fight the temptation not to do is to go, that's not what it looks like when you watch a Bible movie or a TV show now, because you're like, I've been there, you know, or, you know, you're telling somebody for the umpteenth time, yeah, I've been there, you know, like, that's the one thing, but you yourself have that personal experience of, you know what it looks like.
Chris, are you telling me when you see it's not accurate, you go low, low, low?
Yeah. Verily, verily, I tell you the truth. Yes.
No, that low means no.
That's
in
right.
Hebrew.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they would
that's
say,
right.
low,
that's
low,
right.
low, or they'd say can. Ken means, you know, like Barbie and Ken. Ken means yes. We learned a little bit of Hebrew over
there. We did, yes.
You know, you brought up a good point there, Chris, about we have this concept of what Israel is like, what the land is like, you know, to be there. But unless you actually go to Israel, you can't imagine. You know, you see it on these TV shows. Well, it's not accurate. I mean, until you actually are there.
And one of my favorite things too, and we posted, or JJ posted videos about this on his Facebook page, was we had a Bible with us, and oftentimes we would read the scriptures while we were overlooking the Sea of Galilee or the valley where David fought Goliath. That will bless you so much. To read those things, and you're looking out where these things actually happened. It was also a spiritual moment for me when we were standing outside the Southern Steps, I guess they're called, when Sharon, our tour guide, read a psalm in Hebrew. And it's just, it does make that come alive, and it gives you an experience that you do not get here in the States, just going to a church service, you know, reading about these kinds
she
of things.
She read the psalm in Hebrew, and then she started to sing a traditional song that they sing, and it's like, wow, you just have chill bumps. And then when they say, well, you know, let's pay for our food, and then how much is it? Well, it's this much shekels. And you go, what, shekels? I'm in the Holy Land.
Right, yeah.
I'm in the land of the Bible. Yeah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, where the disciples came from, where Jesus came from, where Moses was. And you see mountains and deserts. You see, again, the Sea of Galilee, that same water, that's the water that Jesus walked on. That's the water that Peter got out of the boat, bid me come, and he took a few steps. And that's where they were casting their nets. That's, you know, all of those stories. One of my favorite places was Magdala, because they had just uncovered a synagogue, and there was a valley. You could look right there. There's a mountain. Here's a mountain. But here's a very distinct valley. Right on the other side of that valley was Nazareth. Father Kelly read, and Jesus left Nazareth and came to Magdala.
Yeah.
Well, we were right there. This was very, very recent. And we're looking at this little synagogue. I mean, looking at the mosaic tile on the floor, all these things, everything authentic. And he said, if there was a Guinness Book of World Records for archaeological events, this would win at least seven. You know, it's the only thing in the world that has this. It's the only one in the country that has this, you know, that's so authentic. And so, you know, it was like 99.999% certainty that Jesus stood right there. Mm-hmm. And we saw the podium, the rock that they laid the scroll on, it's in Los Angeles now, because it was like, whoa, all these things about Solomon's temple are etched on here, all these things to tie in with the scripture, with Josephus, with the tradition, everything. It's just right there. And from the Word of God, from the Bible, all this, they took this big stone. It's on display in Los Angeles. But it sounds like that we're just so excited and so passionate. It is like drinking from a fire hydrant, trying to take it all in, because the entire nation's the size of New Jersey. So everywhere you look, what happened on this corner? Well, four new Old Testament stories and two New Testament things. What about this other one? Well, how much time do you have? Let's talk about Isaiah or Ezekiel, Gideon, and it's just amazing.
Joppa was a good example of that, because Joppa obviously has the Old Testament tie-in that you mentioned there with Jonah. But even in the book of Acts, you get things like Simon the Tanner and Peter, and you'll see those places. Now, some of the places or the supposed sites, or historians like to think this is it or whatnot, but you definitely still get that experience of this is where it happened. And it's not just a story in a book. It's where this happened in the Word of God, as given to man for those, including yourself. I mean, it's an awesome experience.
I'll tell you another one like that. When we were on, I think it was Mount Precipice, and we're looking down into the valley. I mean, it is so incredibly high, but we're looking down into the Armageddon, where Armageddon's going to take place. But just standing there, John, you were saying, now right over here, you see that mountain off in the distance, that's where King Saul and Jonathan, that's the mountain right there where they perished. Okay, now you look straight across here, right? Straight across in this deep, deep valley. And he said, this is the name of that mountain. Well, that's where Gideon, you know, and he gathered the army. God said, no, you've got too many. You narrow it down. Well, you still have too many. I want to make sure that you don't get the credit, that God gets the glory. And Gideon, we saw that happening. Then John pointed out another thing, and you're like, and then right to our back, right behind us, was the city of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. And so those things are unforgettable. When you're there and you see that and you take all that in, that's an experience that you'll never forget.
Yeah. And they are indeed mountains. They're not like what we in Mississippi might call a mountain, where it's just a big hill. You get some hiking in when you go on top of those things. I felt like I had achieved like some personal fitness achievements when we got up to like the top of Mount Precipice and stuff like that. But definitely it's awesome to see those kinds of things, and to know that people that you've read about in Scripture, when you're up there, pray, read your Scriptures, fellowship with believers, and you'll have that experience that God, I think, wants us to have in those areas.
But I was very, very impressed, inspired by the ones that joined us along our journey. The fellow there on the Golan Heights that absolutely loved Jesus and knew Scripture and just would just talk about chapter and verse. And then the fellow at the empty tomb, boy, he just gave a sermon with practically an altar call.
Yeah.
And so there's a reason they call it a pilgrimage. Christians, when they go there, you're going to feel very welcome. You're going to feel right at home. there's something in the air. You're going to say, you know, I'm home. It's just a wonderful experience for the Christian pastor, for the family. If your pastor hasn't been, get together as deacons or elders and send your pastor and their spouse there. Yeah. That'd be a tremendous gift.
They really enjoyed having Americans there. And as a matter of fact, in several places that we went, there would be multiple flags flying where they were on displays. It was the Israeli flag, of course, and the American flag. It wasn't the British flag. It wasn't the flag of France or Germany or some other country. It was the American flag because they love us and appreciate us, and they had nothing but nice things to say about America, about President Trump, and the support from Christians over the years there. So it is a very welcoming place. And, you know, they know many of the same stories that you do. It's an opportunity for you both to read or study things like David versus Goliath or Gideon, some of the other stuff that you mentioned there. And you'll be able to get their insight on some things and the things that they've grown up being taught in synagogue.
Chris, since this was your first time, you know, being in Israel, I'm just curious, is there any 1, 2, 3 things that really stood out for you? I know, you know, the whole trip was amazing for your very first time to see, yes, you know, the places that you've read in the Bible. But do you have 2 or 3 things that just like, wow, I just didn't know this?
Yeah, I would definitely say my favorite spots along the way were anything on the Sea of Galilee. I really liked En-Gedi as well. Masada would be up there. And I would say the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, to narrow it down to like 4 things there. Now, the Garden Tomb is, some people say that's where Jesus was resurrected. Other people would tell you it was where a church is currently located. But either way, you know, when you see those areas, you know you're in the area where our Lord and Savior rose from the dead for us and others to have the opportunity to be with him in fellowship forever. And definitely, if you make a trip to Israel, you've got to go to Jerusalem. I mean, that's where it all hits. And I love that we purposely waited until the end of the trip to go to Jerusalem, because it kind of just tied it all up nicely in a bow.
It seemed like it got better and better and better. Now, we're spending a whole lot of time talking about spiritual issues. I don't want to forget looking out there and seeing Chris floating in the Dead Sea.
Yes.
You're not going under the water. You're not swimming
That's
in
right.
the Dead
yes.
Sea. You're floating.
You really are. It is an experience. When you go, you've got to make time to go out there. Basically, what you do is, and they'll walk you through this process and give you all the please don't do this kind of stuff, the instructions. But you walk out there until you're about waist deep. Then you turn around and you just kind of lean back into the water, and your legs will float up and you will be on top of the water.
On top of the water. And it's not like a big blob of jello. It's water.
Yeah.
But it's just and then your skin feels so good when you get out. And they have properties there along the beach with the salt and the sand mixture. They make things like skincare products for women that's the best thing in the entire world as far as medicinal and health care for your skin. But that's something that's so unique, something you can't do, and it's the lowest elevation on earth.
Yeah. And, you know, there's plenty of places to eat in that area, too. I for some reason, thought the Dead Sea was going to be just kind of in a dead area, a remote area. Hey, here's this weird body of salt water. And then, you know, we get back on the bus or whatever. But it's a resort area, and you'll find out that even people like Cleopatra purposely came there to bathe in the Dead Sea because they thought there was something medicinal or healthy about the water. And like you said, it does make your skin feel nice and smooth. It's almost like you've bathed in olive oil when you get out, but definitely you have to go and you have to do that. That would definitely be another favorite stop along the trip.
You know, what's amazing, Chris had told me, JJ, about the national parks that we visited there in Israel, where all these archaeological places are, and how beautiful they are. I mean, you were saying they had all the amenities. Mm-hmm. You know, if a family comes to Israel, they've got everything you need in all these places, you know, that you visit there in Israel.
Right. Yeah. If you're a parent, or maybe you have your parents with you, you don't have to worry about being somewhere and not having a bathroom or not having the access to water and stuff like that. Israel is taking care of all of that for you. As a matter of fact, at Masada, high above the Dead Sea, I think it may still be below sea level, but high above the Dead Sea, they've got bathrooms. bathrooms galore all over this place, and it is out in the middle of nowhere. And if you need water, and you should drink plenty of water when you visit Israel, they've got all that taken care of. It's the kind of stuff where you can just hold your water bottle under it, and out comes clean, fresh water for you to enjoy. And again, you do need to hydrate because you will be, depending on the time of year, you'll be out a lot walking and spending a lot of time in the sun.
I want to wrap things up with one question for both of you guys. Somebody's listening right now, and they've never been to Israel. JJ, you've been there, you know, twice now, and this was the second time you've been there in the past 25 years. Why should somebody go to Israel, JJ?
Anyone that loves the Bible, if you love to read the Bible, study the Bible, and if you're a Christian, I hope that's the case, if you love to memorize Scripture, and you just see all of these amazing ways that in God's faithfulness, in His plan, how He's sovereign. But you can't read about Moses and some that I mentioned earlier, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, all of the stories about Galilee and the healing and calling the disciples and sending the disciples out. It really is the land of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And if you love the Bible, if you love the Lord, you are going to fall in love with Israel because you're going to absolutely walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Literally, you're going to walk where Jesus walked. You're going to look up and see the same hills, the same Sea of Galilee. And it's real hard not to be emotional at a lot of different places when you're there, because there is just something very, very special about that chosen land and chosen people that God calls so dear, that's so dear to His heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, JJ, you already love the Word of God. Has it enhanced the way that you look at God's Word?
Absolutely. Almost daily, at least once a week, I will see something. And just like Chris said, mm-hmm. we were there, you know, and we know where Jericho is now. We know where Samaria is. And, you know, when this happened and that other battle, we were right there looking out over where the Philistines were. And so, yeah, it makes the Bible come alive. I know we've said that several times, but any student of the Bible, and again, I really want to emphasize, if you have a pastor, I know a lot of pastors that have never been, and that's their heart week after week to proclaim the, you know, the full gospel of God, and they love the Word, they love to preach the Word, and if they go, they'll come back a changed person. It will add another layer to their preaching. And I just don't know if a pastor is going to say, hey, guys, please send me and my spouse to the Holy Land. So that's going to be something you deacons, you elders will need to do to try to make that happen for an anniversary or Christmas or just whatever. And it's going to, it really will take your pastor's preaching to the next level.
Yeah. I would say for me, for the Christian listening out there, you should visit Israel because you're a Christian today because of the events that happened to men and women back then. For example, we're standing on an area overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and the tour guide pointed out that somewhere in the neighborhood of like 80% of Christianity started here, here, and here. It's the cradle of Christianity, as he called it. So you are a believer today because of events that happened in those areas. If you are not a believer, the God of the Bible, the one true God, the creator of you, sent his son to live and teach and walk among those people to die for all of us in that area. So all of us are here today because of what happened in Israel, and you need to see those things for yourself. You need to talk with the believers. You need to talk with the locals. See that for yourself. And hit up a local New Testament Bible-believing church for more information that will help you along in your journey.
It's just amazing that the Israel Ministry of Tourism put this much faith in us as a team, you know, to go to Israel, to come back and report on what we have seen, because they really do want to get the message out. It's hard times right now in Israel. We know that. There's a lot going on there. And we need to get the word out about the beautiful place called Israel and what a great place it is to go and to have your life changed.
This may be an odd thing to say, but I would go now when there aren't many tourists, because a lot of people are frightened. We don't need to live in fear in any category of our life. Mm-hmm. But when we were there, they weren't playing a victim, but they said, you see this vast parking lot? There would only be a few tour buses. That's normally completely full. And they said, you see where we're standing? The line usually goes from here to there. So if you go now, you'll have a quick pass. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go and see all of these things because tourism is down. And again, they're not feeling sorry for themselves. They're just praying and waiting for things to ease, ease off. So a lot of the mainstream media, the legacy media, they just want to say, all these missiles running down, as I mentioned at the mm-hmm. start of the show, and we never felt unsafe. And if you go now, when I say now, you know, maybe next spring, you have to do some planning, but you're going to go and have short lines and have one-on-one attention, be able to linger at all these sites. It may be the absolute best time to go to Israel right now.
Yeah. And for the people that are wondering, well, what's the weather like there? You're talking about it being deserts and things like that. The weather was similar to what we experience here in the southeastern U.S. So it's similar to that. You will probably need to pack a couple of things depending on the time of the year that you go. For example, it got a little cool at night in Jerusalem, whereas during the day, depending on where you were, it might be pretty warm. So, don't think as though you need to take like a parka, but definitely you might want more than just, shorts or something, summer clothing. It was a great experience. I would go back tomorrow. If I had the opportunity.
Well, let me see if I can arrange that. I'll just go ahead and get online, see if I can get some tickets. And you guys were great traveling
Let's
buddies.
Let's go. I'm ready. Yeah. Well, look, we left, and John stayed for two or three more weeks.
Yeah.
And then his family joined him. So, you know, he's a believer. But I would go back. I came back and immediately rounded the family up, and I said, okay, how can we as a family mm-hmm. go to Israel? Because you guys need to experience this. This is just remarkable.
Several people have like, I just don't know if I could go through a flight that long. If you wait until you're up in the air and they serve you your food and drink, eat a good little meal, take you a melatonin, and you will sleep through most of it. I can speak from personal experience.
That's a great way to wrap up the show. We just want to encourage you to consider a trip to the Holy Land, to Israel. Tim and Allison Wildman of the American Family Association, they do trips to Israel every single year. You may want to consider a trip with them. Pray about it. Make some plans to go to Israel. It will definitely be a life-changing experience for you and your family. Guys, thank you for joining me in Israel. We had a great time.
It was a privilege. What an honor to be there. Please, please go to the Holy Land. You'll be glad you did.
Guys, I thoroughly enjoyed our trip to Israel. And as you're listening to the Middle East Report today, I want to encourage you to travel to Israel. It doesn't have to be a bucket list trip. You can travel to Israel. It'll be the trip of a lifetime, and God will do an amazing thing in your life if you get yourself to the land of Israel. So I want to encourage you to do that. There's a lot of great organizations that take tours to Israel. You can join one of those organizations. And of course, I always want to encourage you to join Tim and Allison Wildman of the American Family Association. They do an awesome job bringing people to Israel, and you can find out more about that when you contact the American Family Association about a Holy Land tour. Hey, thank you for listening to the Middle East Report. You can get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcast. We're on all the major podcast platforms out there. And you can also go to afr.net, click on the podcast tab, and you can listen to it there. Thanks for listening. I'm John Riley.